G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 125. And just before we get on to today's exciting guest, once again, I just wanted to thank those out there that have been interested in my own story and getting my book, The Fasting Highway. Now, you can get that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. For those people messaging that are in Australia or New Zealand, yes, you can get it directly from the website at www.thefastinghighway.com. All other countries, please use your local Amazon to get it. Okay, let's get on to today's guest, and I'm going to be speaking with Debbie Young. And Debbie is from Bend, Oregon, in the United States of America. And Debbie's had a few trials and tribulations in her life with weight, and some few twists and turns have led her to intermittent fasting. And she's actually also become a holistic health coach through it. And a very interesting journey, and Debbie gives some great insights in this podcast, and I won't spoil the story for you, so here to tell it is Debbie Young. Oh, g'day Debbie, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to meet you.
Thank you. It's great you are here, and I really admire everything that you do for the intermittent fasting community, and Debbie the Fasting Coach, well known on Instagram, of course, and we'll move into that later. But Debbie, for those people around the world listening to the podcast that may not know you, if you wouldn't mind just explaining a bit of your backstory and trials and tribulations you had with weight in your life and health issues, and what actually led you to the path of intermittent fasting?
Interesting. That is okay. And I'll try and give the quick version. I probably battled with some health issues for quite some time. And I mean, I tried, you know, a really clean diet, and I tried to go to naturopathic doctors, and I was just seeking a little bit of health. And it probably started in my later 20s after I had my kids, and things just kind of stacked on top of each other. So I want to say 3 years ago, I was 35 pounds overweight, maybe a little more, because you know how when you're at your highest, you're not weighing because you don't really want to know. I had a blown out thyroid. We had lived in a moldy house that left me really ill. I had high blood pressure. Dude, I was a mess. And I was like kind of scrambling to figure out what I could do, because I ate like a nice clean paleo diet, really, really into diet. I've been gluten-free since before anybody knew gluten was around, exercised regularly, and nothing was working. And so I tried keto and I lost 10 pounds really quickly, and then I gained it. And I'm not saying keto is bad at all. One thing about doing keto that was very healing for me, people have probably heard of the keto flu. So I got keto flu like on crack, because I think keto helped me detox candida, because you go off all carbs and all sugar. So I literally had keto flu and like the keto rash for like upwards of like 3 months. And it was miserable and horrible, but I knew it was healing, so I just pushed through it. So, and I will always thank keto for that. I'm like, you know, I'm not keto at the moment, although I do some keto days, but keto was really good for me in that it helped me detox. Like, and I wasn't a sweets person. I'm a savory chips and salty things with all kinds of bad oils. I was addicted to those. Like I could That was what I went to when I was like, if I was having a bad day, I'd go to Trader Joe's and buy some chips and, you know, like just enjoy them. Like it was like, I'm going to go home and eat chips. Like that's how I coped. So then I was trying to heal all that. But I lost weight with keto and then went through probably 3 months, lost 10 pounds. So, and had that horrible keto flu, but I know that that helped me become fat adapted, get and really clean some junk out. Well, then I got connected with the obesity code, Jason Fung. And at the time, now he's got a program out. It was different back then, but I kind of signed up for his 6-week class because I'm kind of the geeky nerd. I like all the geeky. I wanted to know if I know why something's good for me, then it's easy for me to implement. So I did that. And they talk a lot about fat fasting. And so I did one weekend where I did a fat fast, which I'm all about the clean fast now. So I really wasn't fasting. I was just drinking butter coffee all weekend. My husband went away on a fishing trip and I was working on a lawn thingy. And I'm like, I'm going to do bulletproof coffees for like, I think I did Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that was my like first foray into fasting. Although we know, me and you agree on that. I know the clean fast is imperative. Funny thing is on Monday, somehow I found Jen Stevens' podcast. So I did the 3 days and I was fat adapted because I'd been doing keto. And so I learned about clean fast and then literally I'd had a fat coffee on Monday morning and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not having that anymore. I'm going to have, so I immediately jumped on the clean fast and never look back like in a day. So I did the 3 days, found Jen. Thank you so much. Love her. Love so much. Learned so much from her and just started. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, fasting was pretty easy for me at that point. And I'd gone through that really sick, yucky feeling with the keto flu. And I think I did a lot of healing. So I think maybe that's why when I started really clean fasting, It was easier for me than I've seen with some of my clients. And we're all coming from different places. So we got to get from one place to the next. But that was, I have the date. It was July 11th, that I stepped on the scale and I was like disgusted. And so that's when I started, that was the week I had lost 10, gained 10 with keto. So that's when I did the fat fast. And then I found Jen and literally have been fasting, living an intermittent fasting life ever since then. Even on vacation, when I go on vacation, I definitely window stretch a little bit. I will usually, and it's not because I'm hungry. It's because I'm on vacation with my husband and sometimes he'll eat breakfast and I always have coffee, but sometimes we do lunch and dinner. And then sometimes I just do dinner. But yeah, and I'm kind of, I switch between now, when I was in losing weight mode, I did OMAD. Like I did one meal a day, very similar to you, Graham, in that I start preparing dinner with it and I have a snack. I always have like, I'm a cheese and crackers, that kind of like something that looks pretty. I put something on a plate and then I have a glass of wine and then I start cooking the hubs food. And we like to cook together. And I, like I said, I did paleo for years. So we love to eat good food. I make a dinner and then I might have a snack after dinner. I'm not a big sweets person. So it has to be a really delicious sweet. But I did have a gluten-free coconut cheesecake last week that was definitely window worthy. And I also love cobbler, a blueberry or some kind of berry cobbler. So if I have that around or if we're at a gathering, a party, I will have a treat. But I still kind of lean toward the savory. So I might have a nut, some more cheese and crackers or, you know, I love doing charcuterie boards or if we have a party, I'll do a charcuterie plate or a whole table. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But in so doing, in the 3 years that I've been fasting, almost 3 years, you're a little ahead of me. In July, I will have my fasting anniversary, third one. But there's so many things that have come in that time. I just, I can't believe what a game changer it was for me. So thankful for it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Debbie. And it sounds like you had a great start. And it's really interesting that a lot of people that come to fasting, of course, they start off by doing things like bulletproof coffee, dirty fasting, as we call it. And then they make that transition once they actually find out that the clean fast is so important. And I think that's something I'll get you to talk about, because obviously you being a coach and that sort of thing as well, it's important to get that clean fast message across. I mean, most of us in the intermittent fasting community believe in that, and that's the fastest way to get to our health goals. So let's just touch on that, Debbie. Why is a clean fast so important? And just explain for those people that may not know, what is a clean fast?
So a clean fast would consist of black coffee, black tea, green tea. And teas are tricky. You got to read the labels because there's funky stuff in tea. You think when you buy a box of tea that there's not stuff in it? There's oftentimes flavors, sugars. You got to be really careful with tea. So definitely read the labels. Also, be careful with coffee. If it's flavored coffee, that's not a clean fast. Because the interesting thing is if we taste something in our mouth that says sweet, there might not be any calories in it. It could be a NutraSweet or, you know, some kind of a sugar substitute. And there's more and more of those all the time. But when you put those in your mouth, you have a bigger insulin spike than if you put real sugar in your mouth. So important to do that. Plenty of water. We've got all these fancy flavored waters. Those are flavored. So there's food in them. So that's going to create an insulin spike, and we want to keep insulin low during the fast. So it can be a challenge for people if you love the cream coffee. I read that you will do coffee with cream in your window, and I thought, he's so smart, because I always drank coffee with cream. So now I've started having a decaf after dinner with cream. I'm like, oh, because that kind of sounds good, and it's in your window. But when we're fasting, we don't want any of that stuff. And lots of water, coffee, black tea, green tea, clean, and make sure the tea is clean. And because that is the key, that's the magic. That is where the magic is. And if you don't get that, you're kind of on the struggle bus. Like you drink, I think it almost makes it harder to adapt. It's like you're shooting yourself in the foot every day if you're trying to, you know, cheat a little or you know, you just can't in your head get past that you need to have the clean fast. And that is a lot of what I do with my clients is it's very psychological. Like we really examine like, how are you thinking about food? And it's their heart and their head. But if you can wrap your head around that clean fast, magical things is going to happen. And I feel like that's why it was easy for me, because I like literally found gin and the clean fast. And I literally like, My husband drinks black coffee and always has. So I'm like, I guess we don't buy cream anymore.
I guess also with the clean fast, and the other thing we can mention here, that you can have plain sparkling water, of course, and a lot of people drink that sparkling water and they get that feeling of, you know, being full with that sort of thing. But, you know, it is really important. And so many people say the differences that they have, Debbie, when they are being dirty fasting. And I mean, Dr. Fung talks about that sort of thing and, you know, putting cream in your coffee and milk in your coffee or whatever. But he's talking about people that are 400 or 500 pounds that he's dealing with in his clinic in Toronto. And his message is that he'd rather see those people do that and use it as a crutch initially, and then once they get that weight off, you know, they can sort of move into that clean fasting period to get the maximum benefits, of course, that we look for. So what was your actual hourly window sort of protocols when you first started? Was it sort of the 23-1, 16-8? How did you go with that?
So you know what I did is I was, when I was in losing weight mode, probably 4 hours was my eating window. And it wasn't, and I used an app. I can't remember. I used different apps, and there's a lot of good ones out there. I used whatever was free and that I liked. And I liked tracking my eating window as opposed to tracking my fast, because my day would be different. So I like to be like open eating and then close eating. And I used an app while I was losing weight because it would like, it would buzz at me. Okay, it's time. And I even actually would give myself alarms 30 minutes before the alarm would go. Like, let's say I was going to do from 4 to 8. That was my plan. That's what I was going to track on the app. But I also had a 7:30 alarm on my phone that would tell me closing window in 30 minutes. So I am a woman who loves, I love red wine. So if it said 7:30 and I was like, wanting a glass of wine, I would know. You only have 30 minutes left and then the window closes. Another thing that really helped me, and I don't know if anyone else does it, is if you go brush, if you after when your window closes, I would go into the bathroom, take my makeup off if I had any on, and then brush my teeth. And that was like, to me, it was kind of like a finality of the window was, the eating time was over and we're done now. So that was helpful. Now it's a little different now, but while I was like in the process of my original goal weight was 125, and I am, I tell people I'm 5 foot tall. And 125 is, I'm small, but I'm, and everybody has different body composition. So I think it's really important people think about that, that we're all different, but I had that original goal to get to 125. And once I got to 125, then sometimes my window would be a little bit longer. But while I was getting to that 125, I was serious about that 4 hours. And there were alarms and bells going off in our house. And that helped me. And I think it has helped a lot of people to be really strict, to be mindful of when you're eating and you're not. Because we're all just used to waking up and starting to eat and then eating all day long. So that's a mental change. Mental changes sometimes are harder than physical changes. So,
yeah, they are. And I think that's really great what you said then about how laser focused you were really in that weight loss phase, because you weren't sort of budging for anybody. You were going to do that 4 hour window and that was it. Mm-hmm. You had these alarms going off everywhere. But I think over time, and you're probably the same, that I think I'll become more of an intuitive faster now, where I sort of just eat, you know, sort of in tune with my body, in tune with my hunger signals, that sort of thing. And I basically know I eat after 5 o'clock in the day. That's when I eat. I've never used any apps or anything like that, but I sort of don't have any preconceived sort of ideas of an exact time I start or exact time I finish. I just know I eat after 5. I eat till I'm full and satisfied. And I wrap it up. And then, you know, I do the same thing the next day and I have a slightly longer windows on the weekend. Now I'm maintaining for 3 years. I do a 16 and 8 sort of roughly on the weekend so I can go out and have brunch with my wife, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Have you found that you've sort of been becoming more intuitive over those 3 years?
Absolutely. Once I hit my goal weight, and I hit goal weight right about my first fasting anniversary. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people have a lot of weight to lose. And that, I mean, like maybe more than I did. And I lost 20 pounds rather quickly. So I think I started in July of 2019 and I had a trip planned for December 24th. My husband and I were leaving for Mexico for almost a 3 week vacation. And so I was super laser focused and I really wanted to get below 130. It was just a mental thing. And literally the day before we left our trip, I hit 129.9, which I don't know why the 0.9 matters, but it did to me mentally. And then it took me from December to to my fasting anniversary of 1 year to lose 5 pounds. And that was really hard. That was hard. But I did it. And then after I did that, yes, I'm definitely and recently my dad is in hospice and he lives here in Oregon in assisted living, but I'm the only family he has here. So basically outside of the people that are in the home, I'm his caregiver. And what's really nice now is that because I'm in maintenance phase, I'm at goal weight and I've lost more, but I can do, like, he doesn't have an appetite in the evenings. So sometimes I do a lunch window and sometimes he and I we've come to this place where he wants to go to lunch, but I don't want to eat quite at noon. So he's like, can you eat at 2 o'clock? And I'm like, sure, let's do 2. So then I eat at 2 o'clock and then I love to eat dinner with my husband. So then I come home and I'll have a meal with my dad as well. So it's a smidge longer on those days, but that's the beauty of fasting, is that it's a little intuitive. Now I don't want to do that every day because then I'd probably be out of maintenance phase, right? I mean, but when my dad's like really wanting to get out and, you know, go to some of his restaurants that he likes, we can spend time together. And food is more than just food. Food is family. It's fellowship. It's it's a very emotional thing that we do. And so I'm very, very thankful for fasting. I think on a traditional diet, that kind of thing, if you did that, you would be off your diet and you'd be over the rails and back to square one. But with fasting, you can do that. And sometimes on Sundays, I will have a late, we have a morning worship from 10 to 12 on Sunday. We have our meetings. And then when we're done, sometimes I'm like, let's have brunch. And brunch is kind of one of my favorite meals. And actually, I eat breakfast for dinner quite often too. So some people are like, I can never fast because I love breakfast. Well, you can eat breakfast at 4:30 in the afternoon if you want to.
Yeah, breakfast for dinner. Brenna, is one of my favorite things to do. And absolutely, I say to people, well, hey, you can eat that food anytime you like. You don't have to restrict yourself to having it in the morning, the same as if you're a morning person and you're morning faster and you're missing those dinner meals. Well, you can have that too, sort of in the middle of the day if you want. But Debbie, the other thing we talk about is the non-scale victories and the health benefits that come from fasting. I know there have been a lot for you. So would you mind just running us through some of those that have come for you?
Yes. And there's so many of them. Okay. So I have two kids and this is me getting really real. And as a coach, I get real with ladies all the time. So hopefully it's not TMI. When I was pregnant with my second daughter, I got really bad stretch marks. We had a swimming pool, a dark bottom swimming pool, and there was this swirly bottom part on the bottom of our pool. And I will never forget when my daughter was probably seven. So she was little. So she had no idea. She had no idea that mentioning mom's stretch marks would like make me go, ugh. She said, Mom, your tummy, in front of like 25 people, family members, but still, mommy's tummy looks just like the swirly marks on the bottom of the pool. And in almost three years of fasting, you can't see them anymore. And okay, so my daughter is 31 years old. So we're talking, this is, you know, at the time, 29-year-old stretch marks that have essentially disappeared. And every day they're less. You can't see them. I can, if I rub against my stomach, I can feel them, but you can't see them. And I have darker skin, so I keloid scar. I scar rather badly. So it's a thing for me. That was such a big deal. We love to be at the beach and I like to wear a swimsuit. I like to wear a bikini. And so for those to go away, like even I had been small, even when I was like newly, when my kids were little, I got thin after babies and then steadily gained weight. So I was thin, but I had these scars on my stomach and I was ashamed and I covered them up and I didn't feel comfortable in a swimsuit. So at 54 years old, I feel more confident in a swimsuit than I have since before my kids were born. And that's a big one for me. Like, I love that. I had high blood pressure. That went away. I was on a lot of thyroid medicines and I've gone off of a majority of them. My sleep improved. Now, I will say right now, I have a situational life with my dad in hospice, so I'm not sleeping great now. But I had like chronic insomnia for probably most of my adult life. Even as a little girl, my mom had to help me go to sleep. I was never a good sleeper. Fasting calms me down. I have energy during the day. And that's the other thing. I don't want to eat because I have energy and I get stuff done. I am like, go get her. Go, 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 go. Let's get it done. But then when I eat, fasting actually, taking in nutrients actually settles me a little bit and I'm able to calm down and I slept better. And I know that when I get past this phase of my life that I wouldn't skip for anything. It's been a blessing to be with my dad at this time of his life. But there's a lot of mental stuff to it. So I have a hard time, again, turning my brain off. And the funny thing is sometimes I will open my window early if I'm having a little bit of like I can feel like I am like, I have so many raging ketones right now. I have too much energy. I will eat a meal a little early to settle myself down. So I know that sounds really weird to people who are maybe if they haven't gotten to where they have all that energy, it does come. And that energy is a in my role taking care of my dad right now, that is a huge blessing, because there are some days when I need mental, sharp mental focus to make sure he gets the care that he needs to keep on top of that. And just to I'm basically managing two households, running a coaching business. My grandkids used to live really close here and I was very involved in their lives, but they made a big move this year and moved to California. And so I don't have them regularly anymore. And frankly, with my dad, I probably couldn't. But while I was fasting with them, I had people are like, you're the grandma. You can chase after those babies. I had two toddlers and I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Thank you, fasting. I love that. I do really love. Okay. So women's lives are really complicated. Okay. Women are wearing, and a lot of my clients are women who are doing this. They have a career and they have a family and they have, maybe they've got grandkids, maybe they've got elderly parents. Sometimes they're running their husband's businesses and their business. And I think about all the women during COVID that were locked down at home here in the States and their kids were home from school with them. Like, just for me to not have to eat, it really simplifies my day and makes it so that there's so many more things that I can get done. I don't have to think about food like used to, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Get up and make it. Used to get up and make my husband's breakfast. He didn't need to lose weight, but I told him, you know what? You got to fast for the benefits of this. So Monday through Friday, he fasts till 12 o'clock. He does like an 18 or 16-8. So not only am I not cooking for me, I'm not cooking for him in the morning. And so that simplifies my life. It allows me to get up, get things done. So that's a non-scale victory. I like to walk in the morning and I like to walk in the evening. And it's a lot of times in the morning, I walk and listen to a podcast, sometimes yours, sometimes Jen's. And then in the evening, I like to walk without any kind of electronics. I like to be out in nature when it's warm enough. And I live in Bend, Oregon, so it's still not summer. I took my sweater off because I'm having a glass of red wine and I am 54. So that prompted a hot flash. Oh, I should have said that too. I've gotten less hot flashes since I've started fasting, but I walk regularly. Even if I just walk to get my mail, it's about 25 minutes for me to walk to my mailbox and back, which is perfect. And then I do work out with a trainer once a week. And I've started that. Really, I work out with a trainer because when I go to see her, I don't have to think. So I'm a very busy person. And if I go and work out for 30 minutes with a trainer, it's so I can't even think of what she has to tell me exactly what to do. So it shuts my very active brain off. So that's what I love about working out with Sammy for Forever Fitness in Bend, Oregon. She's a great trainer. And I just go, she lives about 8 minutes from my house. I go and Monday at noon, I work out fasted, always fasted. So at noon, I'm probably at least 12, 13, 14, 15 to 16 hours into my fast. And I do, and it's not a long workout, but it's a pretty intense 30-minute workout. And I love it. It shuts my brain off. It's great.
I think exercise is often misunderstood as far as weight loss goes, because I know you know yourself, Debbie, when you're overweight or when you're obese or a person's morbidly obese, the last thing they want to do is get up and run around the block. You know, when we see these TV shows where people get put in houses and they get flogged to death with exercise. And as soon as that finishes and they go back to their old lives and they don't have that discipline or somebody telling them and whipping them basically every day, they go to pieces. And I think I always say to people, look, if you've got to get your food right first, that's the most important
100%.
Thing. 100%. What's caused this issue? What's caused the obesity? What's caused the weight gain? It's food. So if you can get your food choices right, you can start eating better, you'll start feeling better, you'll start losing a bit of weight, and then you can sort of get on some sort of exercise and movement program after that. But I know initially for me, exercise wasn't the thing that I was going to do because I had to get the weight off. And then when I got the weight off, I started feeling better about myself and I started feeling like exercising and I started walking and I started loving it. And then exercise became my new obsession. I absolutely loved it. So I continue doing that because exercise is fun for me. And now it's I just love it. So it's something I really crave, but it's not for everybody. And it's not something that's absolutely essential, but it is good for our bodies and our organs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, if you can incorporate some exercise, great, but don't get overly obsessed by it. But, Debbie, you strike me as a person that has a great mindset. And obviously, as we know, mindset for me is about 90% or even more in this journey.
And you're a person, 95.
Yeah, I mean, you're a person that has a major sort of mindset shift in what you were doing and that sort of thing. So just tell us about mindset and how important that is and from a coaching perspective as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Fasting's pretty simple. You know, don't eat, eat. Don't eat, eat. But how we think about it and like, are we looking at it as a pot? Like, because I think what I always tell the people that I'm coaching is think of all the things you're going to get done when you're not eating. Think of how simple your life is. And when you focus on the positive things, you're not thinking about that you're missing your lunch or, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but, you know, have a sparkling water that fills your belly up. Go for my favorite thing when I was really struggling to fast was go for a walk and listen to a podcast about fasting and how great it is. So I'm outside, I'm distracted away from the fridge. And I'm listening to something super positive, input, input, input. I also think it's really important that people realize how many food images we get in a day. Like if you're like if you come home and you sit and watch TV, like there's like people are telling you what to buy. You need to buy this and you need to eat this and you need to. And that I mean, that's subtle, but it affects your brain. You're going to have the mindset. So I feel like what you put in. Like what you listen to, who you're around, that's one thing that the ladies that I have coached said that they my positivity and my mindset, like it helps me because like you and I both talked about how people, like when you start getting thin, like sometimes your family doesn't love it. They're like, oh, something's wrong. We don't need to know. So you need to have your head right. Your head's got to be in the game. Your head's got to be right in order to really succeed. And I had a boss once years ago, Dr. Kitazoi, Glenn Kitazoi, and I was like 27. And he hired me without any experience and told me that he was hiring me because I had a great attitude. And he told me, and I would think of this, think of Dr. K all the time. He told me any endeavor is 88% attitude. Any endeavor. Doesn't matter what it is. So that's why getting your mindset right is so much. I mean, sometimes now I think it's like more, but he was trying to impress on me like how important a good attitude was. And it was a dental office and he just wanted a positive vibe and I was the front desk. So people would come in and see me and he's like, yep, you got a great attitude. Attitude is 88% of any endeavor. You don't know, you don't have a clue what you're doing in here, but we can teach you that. You're not stupid. And I think that's true with our attitude and our mindset about fasting, about any endeavor. Like you just got to get like it all. So much happens here. It happens between your temples. And then there's the heart component as well. And so that's a lot of what I work with women is how do you think and how do you feel? And that's huge, huge. So,
yeah, emotional issues as well, they come into it. And how you feel about yourself, how you think about yourself, and tell yourself daily, you know, self-positive affirmations every day, that self-love we talk about. And it's not an egotistical thing to love yourself first, because unless we put ourselves first and we love ourselves first, it's very hard to exude that love to everybody and everything around us. And so once we start doing that, we start talking to ourselves in a more positive frame. We stop saying things like, I can't, and start saying, I can, and that sort of thing. I can't do that. I can do that. It makes a huge difference. And once you start doing that every day, you wake up in the morning, you know what? I'm a good guy. I'm going to be okay today. You know, Debbie's going to have a great day. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to get some clients, and I'm going to change their lives, and I'm going to really love it. And that's the thing. And once you start doing that, it rubs off on other people around you and everything that you do. And once I sort of flicked that switch and I went from not a negative guy, but somebody that was never all that positive, and mainly that came from being morbidly obese, and I started thinking about myself in a much more positive light, Debbie, things change, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They really do. You wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, let's slay this day. What do we got to do? And not that you're not going to ever have a bad day. I'm going to say, honestly, today started rough for me but I didn't get enough sleep. But I was like, okay, you didn't get enough sleep, but how can you power up? What can you do to have, first of all, of course I'm going to fast, but like, what can I say to myself? And I had a talk with myself and I had some time and some meditation and I looked at something positive and then I'm like, okay. And I literally, when I walked out the door for my day, like I texted my support group and said, it's a rut. And I mean, being a caregiver is, it's an emotional job. And, so I don't really like prior to this, that really was not, I don't really have to do it as much, but in a caregiver, if there's anybody out there that's ever taken care of their parents, I think you said you've done it. You know, it's an unnatural thing to do, to watch someone suffer and get sicker every day. So, and I had a great day yesterday, I'm a coach, but I have women in my life that are older than me, more wise than me, have been through things I haven't been through. And I am regularly spending time with them to better myself. I'm always going to be learning, growing, both academically, but like definitely like about myself and what I can do and what I can't do, and very mindset. Like mindset is, I had a great conversation outside in nature with a great lady I love yesterday, and she taught me some really good things. And I think maybe part of that was me not sleeping last night. And then when I woke up today, I had to kind of fix my brain. And you know, when I did it, I have the tools to do it. And I went out and it was a great day. So that mindset, getting your emotions in check, like why am I feeling this way? You know, maybe you're struggling, like you want food. That's what I see a lot with the girls. I'm struggling. I want food today. Well, what else is not right that you're wanting that food? Because we know that we don't overeat or eat a whole bag of chips or drive through the drive-thru or eat a Twinkie because it's not just the food. There's emotion behind it. So when we examine that and figure that out, then we can conquer the world. We can do whatever we want and reach our goals for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of things that come into it when it comes to wanting excess food that we don't really need, Debbie. It's that emotional stuff. It's boredom. People eat a lot out of boredom at times, mindless eating, sitting in front of the TV, and just before you know it, you've eaten a bag of chips and you don't even know that you've done it. You've just done it. And I used to do that a lot, mindless eating in my car. I was always eating in my car, closet eating, that sort of thing. And a lot of people have those issues and they need to work through them. And we're going to move into the fasting coaching stuff in a minute. But one of the things you mentioned there earlier about the sleep and that sort of thing, and I found with intermittent fasting, I had this sense of calm come over me. Ugh. And it was like a peaceful experience where I always refer to the movie Kung Fu Panda, where, you know, Master Shifu keeps repeating, you know, inner peace, inner peace. And it really was. It was inner peace within myself and the calmness that I felt. And I was always quite an anxious guy, particularly when I traveled and I used to fly a lot around the world and that sort of thing. And being an obese guy, that was a real struggle for me. Mm-hmm. And now it's not. And I just love it. But yeah, it's something that comes, doesn't it? That inner peace and calmness, yep, that you talked about.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, what could be better than being peaceful inside? Like really, you're not thinking about the food. There's so many things that I've gained from fasting that are not food related. And that, like, I mean, for me to be able to go, probably started when I had kids, that I really struggled with insomnia. And that was like, so it was 30 years from 20 to 50, 52. So I'm 54, 51. I started fasting. And that's the other thing I'd love to touch on is women think that if they've gone through menopause and they have menopausal weight gain, they think it's impossible to lose weight. And I'm going to tell you, girls, it is not. I was in the thick of it, and fasting helped me lose those stubborn pounds. But yeah, that calmness, I was able to sleep 9 hours a night. Like, I don't think I'd ever slept 9 hours in a night. So, and I know that where I'm at now is, you know, one thing I know is that whatever's happening today is not going to happen tomorrow. Things change very rapidly, especially in this modern world, and people are stressed and it's hard, but whatever you're facing today, be prepared. It's going to change. Fasting is something that helps us regulate that, but also sleeping 8 or 9 hours a night is, and being calm and not anxious. Those things are just, I mean, I guess those are non-scale victories too, that I didn't mention, like that are huge, huge, huge. And that adds so much to like what we know about health is if you sleep good, you live long. If you don't sleep good, you ain't gonna live long. So.
Yeah, 100%. Sleep is certainly something that is much better for me now, for sure. And my wife says I don't snore as much, which is a bonus for her, I suppose. But, you know, and I'm obviously being an obese guy. I mean, snoring was something. I used to wake myself up in the middle of the night, that sort of thing. I'd be getting up 3 or 4 times a night because of all that pressure on your bladder and that sort of thing. You had to keep going in the bathroom and all those sort of things just eased off. And as you said, there's so much more to intermittent fasting than just the weight loss. I mean, obviously a lot of these things come from the weight loss, but a lot of the mental stuff is different, like the self-esteem, the self-confidence, all that, the way we feel about ourselves, the way we look at ourselves, the way we treat ourselves, and the way we treat others as well. And I know when I was a morbidly obese guy, I wasn't very well treated by people. I mean, that's, you know, some people are pretty nasty, and particularly in the service industry and retail and that sort of thing. You'd go in shops and people didn't want to know you when you're morbidly obese. Now I walk in, it's, "Hi, sir, how are you? How can I help you?" And I always feel sad about that, but it's something I've got used to. And I think it's just that visual thing. And I think that's a really sad reflection on people. But Debbie, we're going to move into the coaching stuff now in the last bit of the podcast. And I want you to tell us firstly about what made you go into intermittent fasting coaching. And then we're going to speak a bit about why it's important.
It's kind of like for years, I was that friend. If you talk to my friends, most of them will tell me, you know, we always came to you for advice. You always had our back. You could help us sort through our problems. And you know, maybe they were weight related, maybe they were emotions related, who knows what it was. But I was coaching for a long time before I became a coach. And it was basically my frustration with having to do the doctor's job to figure out what was wrong with me. And I mean, they never did. I mean, I found fasting on my own. And I mean, I got like a little bit of help from this doctor and a little bit of help from this doctor, but literally learned a lot from Dr. Fung. Put some things in, found Jen's podcast, and my life was changed. But if I could have, the 5 to 10 years before that, had somebody just helping me, coaching me, helping me to talk to my doctors, I would have benefited greatly. And so now that's one of the things that fasting has given me is, you know, sometimes I just send somebody a quick note on Instagram. Other ladies I meet with every other week. Sometimes they want a weekly meeting, and I get to see. The great thing about what I do is like each and every woman that I've worked with is on a different journey. And it's usually starts pretty bleak and pretty sad, and it ends beautifully. And that's a good, you wake up feeling good when that's what you do. So I love it. And I say it's the greatest job. I do it for free. I love getting paid for it because, you know, everybody's got bills to pay. But I just love to be on that journey with the women and be their advocate. It's kind of my job is to teach women how to take care of themselves and to help take care of them along the way and point it out and for them to get their head right. They got to get a good mindset, but first I have to reach their heart and let them allow themselves to understand that it is okay to take time out for yourself. It is okay. When you're on an airplane, what do they tell you? If anything happens, put your mask on first, then take care of your children. Women's ultimate knee-jerk reaction is to care for everyone around them and to let themselves slide. And I had done that. I mean, even though I was looking for a fix for me, my habits and my daily concern was for other people, and my health suffered for it. And what would happen to my family if I wasn't here, or if I was, you know, what if I had pre-diabetes? I don't know if I mentioned that. I had pre-diabetes. What if I wound up with diabetes and high blood pressure? And what if I died at a young age? I have 2 children. I have 4 grandchildren. I have a husband that loves me, all kinds of extended family. So I help women find that balance with fasting and caring for themselves and just loving themselves. And it's a privilege to walk on that journey with them. And I just love it. I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I think that's so great when we share this message with anybody. And I know myself, I've mentored literally hundreds of people around the world. And I get a lot of requests from people, Debbie, as we were talking about before, about coaching and that sort of thing. And it is something I'm thinking about doing on a professional level. But obviously, you know, as you said, you've got to pay the bills. And my theory about coaching is, in any walk of life, it doesn't matter what it is, if you need help with something, or you're in business, or you might need a plumber, you might need an electrician, you're going to get a professional. You're going to get a person that's really experienced in that field. And this fasting to me is no different. If you're starting out, when I look back, when I first started, if I knew there were fasting coaches around then, I probably would have consulted one, because I would have wanted to know exactly what I was doing was the right way to be doing it. I mean, it was working for me, but there were things that I didn't know that I had to learn along the way. And I think that accountability person behind you and helping you, and just someone to talk to, because not everybody's on social media. In fact, most of the people I get requests from are not on social media. They're not on Instagram. People don't like talking about their weight, and you know, especially men, they don't get on Facebook groups and talk about their weight and their emotions and how they feel. And a lot of women aren't on Instagram, or they're not on social media for various reasons. So quite often people sit alone and they don't have anybody to help them. So I think fasting coaches play a huge part. Before we go today, Debbie, I would like you to sort of, if you were sitting down with some girlfriends or some mates in a cafe, and you were chatting about fasting, and they're all saying, well, Debbie, just give us the nuts and bolts. How are we going to start? What do we have to do?
First, I always tell everybody, if you're starting, let's start with 16:8, because first of all, like the girl that I talked to today, and I kind of had that conversation with one of my dad's nurses. She's like, I need to lose 40 pounds. What could you tell me in 5 minutes? And, you know, I love having a client that I work with, but I'm also like all about, let me just tell you. I told her, you know what? You have fasted. Did you sleep last night? And she's like, yeah. I go, well, however long you slept, you were not eating. So you were fasting. So first things first, wake up. Don't consume any food. I go, do you drink coffee? What time? She told me, I drink coffee at 6:45. I go, what do you put in it? She goes, cream. I said, okay, this is where people like head, their eyes roll back in their head. I go, think about that cream in the morning. Maybe it's cream and sugar. Maybe you wake up and have a Coke or a Pepsi or a flavored water, whatever. Everybody wakes up and has something. But if it's not black coffee, black tea, green tea, or water, or plain sparkling water with no flavors, you're breaking your fast. So are you more attached to that, or do you want to lose the weight? And she goes, oh, I'd love to lose weight. I go, okay, so push that off. And I would love for you to start with 16:8. But even if you just wake up tomorrow, and let's say you get up and at 6:30, you usually have a coffee with cream, push it out 1 hour. Like just start small. Push it out 1 hour. Now, I like the 16:8 because I feel like 8 is plenty of time for everybody to do. But some people can't wrap their head around it. And that is basically when I work with you one-on-one, I help you wrap your head around it and then figure out what's going on in your heart and your head. But start with 16:8, clean fast. You don't have to talk about it if you're worried about what people will say. So you can be quiet about it. You don't have to talk about it if you think you're not ready to say, I'm fasting. When you eat something you love. I'm I am a food snob. I was kind of a foodie before, but I couldn't lose weight even though I was eating all this healthy food. But eat something that nourishes you. When you break your fast, and there is a little bit of appetite correction, but I don't want... A lot of people that come to fasting come from dieting. So they're like, they're fasting all day and then they're going to have a diet meal. Don't have a salad and just have a salad and put like lemon juice on it, because you're not going to get full. So if you're going to fast clean, then when you have a meal, eat good, nutritious food as best you can, and understand that your food choices and your appetite correction will come in time. And the best thing about fasting is if you didn't have a good fast today, you're going to wake up tomorrow and start all over again. And fasting gets easier, whereas dieting gets harder. So, I mean, like you would say it's easy for you now. It's easy for me. It's just what we do. But with a diet, it gets harder and harder and harder. And you only have so much willpower. So I tell people to commit to 6 months. Like commit to 6 months of fasting. It's a very small part of your life. Just see what it could do to all kinds of. I get told I have a friend who's 25. She's like, you're aging in reverse. Every time I see you, you look younger. And I like how that feels. I like that. And that's the health component. When I got on with you, I thought, man, he looks so healthy.
I think it's a bit of a mix. Not everybody fasts for weight loss, of course. A lot of people fast for health benefits. But thank you for all the insights you've given today, Debbie. And just finally, before we go, just quickly, just give us your plugs. I mean, how do we get hold of Debbie and where are you at?
Okay, so my website is DebbieTheFastingCoach.com. I'm on Instagram at DebbieTheFastingCoach.
So. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, and thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today. It's been an absolute privilege and honor to have you on the podcast.
And you know what, Graham, I feel the exact same way. When you reached out to chat, I was like, oh, he has such a great story and he wants to hear mine. So you're an inspiration to so many people. And I love your book and I love your podcast. And I just love, you have a really positive energy. And that to me is, I'm all about like people's energy and their vibe. And you just have a great one. So, and I've been watching you. I've heard you on other podcasts and I've heard your podcast with Jen. And yeah, it's great to meet you. And it's nice to call you my fasting friend.
Thanks so much, Debbie. You have a great day and best wishes to your dad and everything else in your life there.
Thank you so much, Graham.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. Really enjoyed that chat with you and thank you for giving some great insights and tips on your own intermittent fasting journey and what you're sharing with others now. And thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today and sharing your story. Also, folks, as mentioned there, you can come and join us in the Fasting Highway Facebook community. There's some 6,500 members there now from all over the world. So come and get some support and you can ask people questions and help you get started on your own journey. And if you are interested in my story, you can get that in my book, The Fasting Highway, on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you're in New Zealand, you can actually get that at the website, www.thefastinghighway.com. But anyway, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.